American woman. It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts, our most recent op-eds, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I do love hearing from you, and I am so grateful for each and every one of you listeners. Today, live with intention. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you so much for joining us. We have work to do in this battle of ideas, and that is for sure. Always grateful for this great team that I get to work with. Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I realize, Producer Steve, I have so much that I want to talk about today, I need to slow it down just a little bit, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, what you just handed to your studio guest was a, you know, inch-thick book, so good luck to you.
Yes, Researcher Patty, we have so much out there to talk about. In studio with me is Greg Lopez. He is running for governor here in Colorado. He was out of the chute early. Greg, it is so great to have you in studio.
Thank you for having me, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
So we're going to focus on segments 3 and 4. We've got a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
One of them, last Thursday, just kind of under the radar, which was New Year's Eve, the AP, the Associated Press, reported that Colorado has gone from one of the top 10 economies of the 50 states to the bottom 9. And that would indicate to me that there's maybe a leadership challenge there.
I totally agree with you. You know, I'm looking forward to talking about that because it is having a huge impact in our economy. And think about it for a minute. You know, the third quarter is from June through September. Just imagine what the fourth quarter is going to look like for Colorado, which is October through December. So you can expect these numbers to continue to go down. And I think they're realizing that. And that's why there's this momentum to try to open. But yeah, it's something that we need to be all very concerned with.
And so I really do want to get your take on that. Greg Lopez, it's great to have you here. And you even got your campaign manager out early this morning, Kevin Conrad. It is so great to have you in studio as well.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Let's go ahead and go through some things. First of all, I have brought my America's Veterans Story show over to KLZ. We had our debut show last Sunday. You can hear that from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLZ 560 or KLZ 100.7 FM. Great interview. It was part one with Jim Blaine, who is a World War II veteran. He fought at the battles of Tinian, Saipan, and Iwo Jima. This week will be part two. And then also, Paula Sarles, who is a Vietnam-era Marine veteran, and she's working diligently on raising money to refurbish and remodel the Marine Memorial Veteran out here in Golden, is also part of that show. So be sure and check that out. Lots going on today. We'll go through some headlines. In the second segment, we'll be talking with Dr. James Lyons Weiler, and he is a research scientist, author, and founder and CEO of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. I want to talk with him about this new strain, this UK version of the coronavirus. And then also the fact that Cuomo is saying, oh my gosh, it is so contagious. What does that mean exactly? So we'll talk with him in the second segment. Our quote for today, I thought I was looking for knowledge, is from Charles Spurgeon. And he was an English particular Baptist preacher. He remains highly influential among Christians of various denominations, among whom he is known as the Prince of Preachers. He was born in 1834. He died in 1892. Steve, Producer Steve, I think you're going to like this one. Here we go. He said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. And I think that that is very important as we are looking at our civic responsibility in the different leaders that we choose, Greg Lopez.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this really goes to the heart and soul of what we need to look for in leaders. You know, it's one thing to know something, right? But to have the wisdom on how to apply it or how it has an impact in its totality, you know, as a leader is very important. And this is where, you know, I always tell people I'm never going to be the smartest man in the room. And that's okay by me because I'm going to surround myself with people that can give me a lot of different viewpoints so that I can make sure that people are making good decisions. This is what leaders should be doing, is making sure that they understand their actions and what does it mean. And this is where wisdom comes in.
Well, and one of the really wise things about all this that and I've been back and forth with, I'm no longer calling them elected officials.
Right.
They are elected representatives.
Yes.
Then I do refer to that whole administrative class as PBIs, mm-hmm. politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. What we need is elected representatives who understand that property rights, whether or not it's physical, over your body, or your mind, those things, that is inherent in the American idea. And that is one of the things that the people that we elect, we need them to understand that, Greg Lopez.
Yes, we do. I mean, you see what's going on. I mean, it seems like every day they're just destroying, you know, our fabric of what America stands for and our rights. You know, when you talk about property rights, you talk about the livelihoods that they're stealing away from families because they're shutting down businesses. Those are property rights.
Absolutely. And I'm going to talk about it on Friday. You and I, just when you came into the studio, I mentioned this to you. But I had done a podcast on this five-star state certification program that that basically they said it was based on something from Mesa County. And Mesa County was just working to get their businesses open. And their five-star state certification program was 2.5 pages long. Then when the state got a hold of it, theirs is 10 pages long. Of course, they have all kinds of links. But Douglas County, where I live, has been championing that they are the first ones out with this five-star state certification program to get our restaurants and our bars and our taverns and our gyms open. Greg, last night I downloaded it. The Douglas County is 64 pages long.
Oh, my gosh.
This baby's not going away. And one of the things I think with real leadership is there has to be sunsets. People need to understand that there is a sunset on this. And when you put something in place like that, that baby isn't going away, and we need to stand against that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. A lot's happening. They think that they have called the races down in Georgia for both of the Democrat senatorial candidates. That is going to make things mighty interesting. Greg, you mentioned that it's so razor thin. Wouldn't that go to a recount? And producer Steve and I talked about it yesterday. In our elections, we want transparency. We want them to be fair. And we don't want the erosion of our property rights by cheating, if you will. And so, for sure, if it's fair and square, we understand that. But a recount seems like that would be in the cards because it's so close, Greg.
I totally agree. You know, I mean, it the margins are so close, you know, and they went back and forth all last night, you know. And yes, I think that, you know, it just makes sense, right, to just do a recount. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, with everything that's happened with the elections, I think there's a lot of citizens that are worried about, is our election process really being done correctly? You know, and so a recount, I think, is really what's going to be called for. And I think at the end of the day, whatever the results are, I think most people accept it. Mm-hmm. But we cannot just move forward and say, well, let's just declare a winner specifically when the margin is so close.
And we want to make sure that every legal vote counts.
Yes.
And illegal votes do not count. That brings us to another thing that's going to happen today. Very historic. Yesterday, the 5th, this election down in Georgia. Today, the Electoral College meets. I had Josh Phillip on Monday with the Epic Times, and he gave a scenario of looks like what will happen. And for every senator and every, they match them up, for every senator and then a House of Representatives congressman who object to these results, there will be 2 hours of testimony. So it indications are that there will be at least 12 senators. So, and there obviously, it sounds like there'll be at least 12 representatives. So that means we're going to be looking at possibly 24 hours of information that's going to be presented regarding this election integrity. So we are in uncharted territory, Greg Lopez.
We are. You know, and it's historical. You know, and I would encourage all Americans to watch, because this is really what our country is all about. You know, if memory serves me right, Kim, the last time we ran into something like this was when the second inauguration of President Lincoln, when we were in a civil war.
Now, you weren't alive then.
I wasn't alive.
Okay.
but it is historical, because right now we're seeing Congress, right, actually exercise the Constitution. And so I encourage everyone, you know, pay attention, because this is something that we all need to understand.
And watch the whole thing, not the sound bites, not what you get through the media. Watch the whole thing. So we're going to go to break here in just a little bit. Before we do that, though, a really valued partner, all my partners are valued, is Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. Lauren Levy, I have not talked to you in the new year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Kim.
And it's a historical day. What's your thoughts about it, Lauren?
You know, I look at it from the standpoint of the mortgage business, so it's going to be an interesting day for us as well. I think it's going to come down to getting the votes finalized and seeing what really happens. But the thought process being that a Democratic sweep would lead to extra stimulus, which could lead to inflation, which then could lead to higher rates. So that's where my eye is on it right now from a work standpoint.
Okay. And interest rates are at a historical low, so there is still opportunity right now in 2021 for people to lock something in, because if we do go into an inflationary situation, rates will go up. And so it makes sense, if you haven't done that, to reach out to you, Lauren.
That's right. I agree. The opportunity is there, and it'll be there for a little while. Nothing's going to happen imminently. I don't think it would just start a trend, possibly, if anything does happen. But there's still time, and you're right. I suggest people reach out, and people have been reaching out. So I commend them for that, and we're helping a lot of people.
Well, and most definitely, you can help people save thousands and thousands of dollars. And people can reach you, Lauren, at 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. That number somehow is embedded in my mind, Lauren Levy.
It's all the eights, and we've been doing this for a while now, so I'm glad it finally clicked in.
Okay, definitely. So, Lauren, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week. And again, that's Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, 303-880-8881. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking with Dr. James Lyons-Weiler. Want to get his read on this new strain of the coronavirus that's coming out of the UK. And Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, saying it's highly contagious. What does that mean? We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and be sure and email me with any comments at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Before we get to Dr. James Lyons-Weiler, wanted to just again acknowledge another wonderful partner of mine, and that is Hooters Restaurants here in Colorado. They are franchises, so they are locally owned, and I so highly encourage you to Make sure that you give business to our local businesses. And Hooters Lone Tree is open for dine-in, delivery, to-go, and curbside pickup. And Westminster, Aurora, Loveland, and Colorado Springs have patio dining with heaters, so it's nice and toasty there. Today is Wednesday, so it's Wings Day Wednesday, where you can buy 20 wings, you get 10 free, and that's for to-go or dine-in. It's not valid on delivery. They have other specials, so go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com, and you'll have all the information there that you need. On the line with me is Dr. James Lyons Weiler. He's a research scientist, author, and founder and CEO of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge, also known as IPAC. He, along with other scientists at IPAC, perform research in the public interest aimed at finding ways to reduce human suffering, and I love that. Dr. Weiler, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Pleasure to be here.
So you are a scientist, and you've been watching this whole coronavirus, COVID-19 Wuhan virus. Of course, we have this reaction disruption that's putting businesses out of business. But there's this new UK strain. What's your thoughts about that, Dr. Lyons-Weiler?
Yeah, so it's probably really early in the morning for people to hear science out there. So stay with me on this. The UK variant, there's actually multiple variants now, but I've looked into it in detail, and there is no evidence whatsoever that any of these variants are more likely to cause serious coronavirus disease, COVID-19. Instead, what it looks like is that the viruses are somehow more transmissible, and, you know, in a black box understanding of virology and evolution, that might sound horrible because, oh, look, it's more transmissible, more people are going to get it, it's going to spread further, and so more people are going to die. And that's the party line. But in reality, if you look at the actual mutations, there are 17 mutations across the coronavirus.
Whoops, did we lose him for just a minute, Steve? Okay. I'll let Steve try to get him back on there because I was hanging on his next words there. He said that there's 17 different mutations of the UK or of the coronavirus, and I want to find out what he has to say about that. I know that regarding the flu vaccine is that because of the different mutations, that typically is only maybe 50% effective. James, we lost you for just a minute where you were talking about the 17 different mutations. Take it from there.
Yeah, the 17 different mutations are scattered across the genome, but 8 of them are clustered in the spike protein. And it turns out that in the tests that are used in Europe and in the UK, one of the probe sets is in the spike protein. So there are 3 probe sets in the test, and you have to have 2 out of 3 reporting positive to call it call the virus present. And one of them is failing to report. And as an evolutionary biologist, it's really abundantly clear that the reason why it seems to be more transmissible is not that it's more transmissible. It's just spreading because people are not being tested and being told to stay home for 4 or 5 days if you test positive. So I call this PCR selection, just like natural selection. And I'm in a discussion right now with the scientists who discovered the variant and who have analyzed genome sequence. And, you know, they might not agree with me on this assessment, but they don't understand that specifically a small proportion of the test cases being a false negative will lead to the spread. This is exactly a repeat of what we saw when the CDC shipped out a flawed test back in February after refusing to accept a test that was developed by the Germans that had already been tested and validated. They shipped out a flawed test. They tested the people on the Prince's cruise ship. They let everybody go. And guess what? What do you get? You get transmission. So in reality, we have to keep in mind that COVID-19 is a disease that's caused by a coronavirus, which is an RNA virus. RNA viruses are the fastest evolving viruses that we know of. And so, of course, the PCR tests are going to decay their accuracy over time. This has not been built into the testing paradigm. It's not built into the epidemiology. And we can't deny our way out of this. This virus this variant of the virus is now found in at least four or five states across the United States. It's probably been here for a while, just like before. And now that they're bothering to sequence them to see which variant they're detecting, oh, look, we have this variant here too. Okay, so the reality is our testing, we do not yet, it's January 2021. There is no viable testing program in the United States of America. Now we know that there's no viable testing program in the UK and in Europe. And so, you know, we have to have public health reform. It's not science-based, it's not evidence-based, it's not reality-based. It's based on whatever somebody decides is a go-forward program that's going to make a lot of people a lot of money. And PCR is a very, very flawed paradigm for doing diagnosis of this disease anyway.
Well, a couple of things. It is a disease, and you said something there that I do know of people that have died from coronavirus. But sure. You said something so interesting is that many of them have been told to go home and maybe rest, but not do anything for 4 or 5 days. And that's some of the stories that I've heard where people then have actually took a turn for the worse and had not survived. There are treatments out there. Why wouldn't they be treated if they are testing positive for COVID-19?
Well, listen, I'm the editor-in-chief of a journal, Science, Public Health Policy, and the Law. And in that journal, we published a protocol by David Brownstein. It has high-dose vitamin D, high-dose vitamin A, selenium, zinc, all the things that people know, vitamin C. You have to take care of your health. I'm flummoxed, just as you are, Kim, as towards why our public health officials have not only have they not promoted prophylaxis with good health and supplements, prophylaxis with antivirals that we know work early stage. They have actually lobbied against early treatment, which to me is egregious. And everyone should know, everyone should full well know, that you, part of the equation of getting better from this virus is your immune system, and you have to have a healthy immune system. To me, our number one public health priority should be finding out why so many people in the United States have a skewed immune system. It's called Th2 skew. You have T helper cells 1, T helper cells 2. You have to have a balanced response of innate and cellular and humoral immunity. If you don't have a balance, you're going to get the cytokine storm. So many people have Th2 skew that leads to autoimmunity, it leads to diabetes, it leads to all of the conditions that we see as comorbid conditions for death from COVID-19. We should absolutely make our number one health priority before COVID-19 to find out why so many Americans have autoimmunity. And it turns out that aluminum in vaccines induces Th2 skew. A large part of my research program at IPAC is to calculate the dose toxicity of aluminum, and we found in our peer-reviewed studies that children on the CDC's pediatric schedule are in aluminum toxicity 100% of their days in the first year of life. There's so many vaccines with aluminum, and the doses are so high, and their bodies are so small. We're making ourselves sick, and the United States is a sitting duck because we have a public health system that will not respond to the concerns that I and many other people have stated that aluminum is a toxin. It's destroying our health. It's a terrible thing, and we need to stop it.
Okay, that brings over a fascinating conversation, Dr. Lyons-Weiler. But I wanted to just mention this to you. You've probably seen this. Mr. Vaccine himself, which is Governor Cuomo, has said, I've got to get over here. Here we go. This was from the Western Journal, and it said, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said Monday that the state's health department will issue fines of up to $100,000 to hospitals that do not distribute all of their coronavirus vaccines by the end of the week, saying that he wants to get needles in arms as quickly as possible. Very quickly, James, what is your comment on that?
My comment on that is that the U.S. federal regulations do not allow coercion of any human being to be enrolled in a human experiment trial. Look up the U.S. federal regulations that govern your right as a human being in the United States to not be coerced. There are special protections against coercion. Coercion is specifically not allowed. This is an experimental vaccine. Everyone knows it. To not do the animal studies sufficiently and appropriately to detect antibody-dependent enhancement, caused by pathogenic priming, by this vaccine. Cuomo is not a scientist, and he certainly is not a bioethicist. I think he needs a new Department of Health. That's what I think. I think the public health department in New York State needs to be gutted. I think the CDC needs to be gutted. And I have a new plan. It's called Plan B, to restructure and reformat public health in the United States. You can find me on social media. You'll see it. It's a beautiful system. It will work. It's intelligent. It's not draconian. It's not top-down. It's bottom-up. It's designed to learn. Cuomo doesn't know what he's doing. He really doesn't. No clue.
Okay. I think we'll have to have you back and talk to you about that, Dr. James Lyons Weiler. Thank you so much. And you are the founder and CEO of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. I greatly appreciate your appearance on the show today, and we'll be back in touch.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. There is a lot going on. I want to go back to what's the market saying about Georgia.
Well, it's kind of a mixed reaction right now, Kim, to be frank with you. The Dow futures are slightly positive, about 50 points, but NASDAQ futures are down over 100. The S&P futures are down about 7, but then you've got the small cap futures that are higher. So it's, you know what? It's like the market's just about as indecisive as these races and elections seem to be at this point.
We just seem to be waffling around right now, Jason McBride. But when you have situations like this, there is opportunity. The market's at all-time highs. People may want to sit down and maybe take a look at taking some of these profits. Having a good plan is important. And we had some good ideas at the end of the year. Now we're in the new year. There's things that people can still do, correct, Jason?
Well, there's always things that people can do. You know, we talked a lot about the Roth at the end of last year. I think the Roth is always still a valid option. Account that's tax-free is always a very valuable thing to have. And then, Kim, again, I think it's very wise to do an overall plan that's very thorough, that looks at different inflation rates on different types of expenses. Make sure that you've actually taken a close look at those type of things, or you may be getting kind of a false reading. So we like to give people as accurate of tests as possible, so to speak, when they come in and do an overall plan with us.
So your tests are accurate, which compares to the maybe inaccurate test that we were talking with Dr. James Lyons Weiler about. So people can reach you. Jason, what's your phone number?
Give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Well, a lot's going to happen in the next 24 hours before we talk again, Jason. So fasten your seatbelts and stay tuned, right?
That's correct.
Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, in studio with me is Greg Lopez. He is thrown his hat in the ring for governor in 2022 here in Colorado, and also in studio, his campaign manager, Kevin Conrad. We're going to go to break. I've got some questions I want to ask Greg Lopez. You'll want to hear what he has to say. Stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter and be sure and email me with any thoughts or comments. I love hearing from you, and that's Kim at KimMunson.com. In studio with me is Greg Lopez, and he has thrown his hat in the ring for governor 2022 here in Colorado. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim.
It's good to have you here. And you brought along your campaign manager, Kevin. It's great to have you in studio as well. Greg, let's start with your story. Tell people a little bit about you.
You know, I'm just like everybody else. You know, I'm not special by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I come from humble beginnings. You know, I grew up with a family that, you know, we had my dad was the only one that worked, you know. We grew up.
Now, I take umbrage with that.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Because my mom, you know, as you know, the females of the household, they work a lot. And I know that for a fact because I got a story on that. So thank you for correcting me. But, you know, one thing that, you know, I've learned throughout my life is America is really a great country because you can have a lot of opportunities. You know, you just got to stay out of trouble. You got to do the right thing, make good choices, and you will be amazed at what this country will provide for you. You know, and you got to work hard. I mean, you know, nothing's for free, you know. And so I've learned to understand and respect other people's opinions because you can learn from others, mm-hmm. right? You never want to believe that you're the smartest man in the room. And I've never done that, you know. So I come up from humble beginnings. You know, I'm a veteran. I served.
Now tell us a little bit more about those humble beginnings, because
like I said, so I had I grew up with three brothers. One of my youngest brother was a special needs since the day he was born. Okay, and so I understand the struggles of a family when they have medical decisions to be making when it's a child or a brother. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up with the free lunch program, you know, my entire time. I remember going to Goodwill, you know, to buy clothes, you know. And so we were never embarrassed about doing that because my mom always told us, hey, look, what we're doing is we're providing for each other. We should never worry about what other people think of us. We just got to do the right thing, you know. And so we, you know, my mom and dad worked in the fields. My dad had a sixth grade education, never really learned to read and write. And my mom has a 10th grade education. They never graduated high school. You know, mm-hmm. my brothers and I were the first to ever graduate high school from the entire clan.
Wow.
You know? And, you know, college was never a discussion. It happened in our kitchen table because we just couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I joined the military.
Okay.
And I joined the military so that I could get a higher education. And I was able to get an associate's degree through the VEEP program.
Okay.
You know, so I was in the Air Force, you know, I served 4 years. I met my wife of 32 years now while I was stationed in New Mexico. And she's the love of my life. She's my soulmate. You know, I wouldn't be the man that I am today if it wasn't for her, you know. And so, you know, I learned a lot in the military. You know, I learned a lot about our country and I learned a lot about, you know, why we fight for freedom and what does it mean, you know. And so, I've been so blessed by all the opportunities that the Lord has provided me, Kim. I really don't know, you know, when people say, well, Greg, what would you tell the younger generation? I would always tell them, you know what, always look for a mentor. You know, look for someone that really cares about your future and just listen to them, you know. And I try to do that every time I can with the younger generation mm-hmm. about sharing my experiences and allowing them to understand that, you know, it's all about choices. It's all about decisions. And so, you know, I am so blessed to be able to run for governor of Colorado.
I think that my next question is, why on earth would you want to do that?
Well, you know, Kim, I truly believe that we deserve a state where we can make the lives of everybody better and fuller and richer. And we can do that. You know,
question. Is that government's role or is it government getting out of the people's ways role?
It's government getting out of the way.
Okay.
Government, I tell people, government never does anything well. It never does. Okay. Government is nothing more than an organization that is supposed to provide an environment by which people can prosper. Okay.
And let me interject here, because I've been in conversation with some of our elected officials about what the proper role of government is. And one of them said to me that their role was to be a good steward of taxpayers' dollars. And I pushed back. I said, actually, your role is to protect private property rights. Mm-hmm. And taxpayer dollars, we all agree that there's some taxpayer dollars we pay things for. But anything above that should be our dollars.
That's right.
And I'd like to be a good steward of my dollars instead of elected or politicians, let me put it that way, thinking they're being a good steward of my dollars, spending it the way they want to.
I totally agree with you. Look, what they're doing today is they're trying to let us know that we don't know how to manage our own lives. And so they're going to do it for us. I mean, we see it every day, right? And so what they're trying to do, when you hear that, what they're basically saying is government needs to take more of your money because you're not a very good steward of it, and we are going to be better at it. And so trust us, which I tell people, you know what? You never should trust government. If government tells you to trust them, you should say, I got questions.
I have questions, for sure.
You know, and so the role of government is to remove obstacles and barriers that prevent people from reaching the American dream, right? And being able to pursue happiness. And so government needs to evaluate what it's doing in its totality, because even what's happening now, right? Let's talk about what the governor is doing. The governor is saying, you know what, we need to save lives. And yet all the mandates and all the restrictions that he's doing are actually hurting families, are hurting small businesses, and he's not looking at the impacts of his decisions. You know, and this is where government goes astray. He has forgotten that he is a public servant, and he is reckless with his authority, and it's causing all kinds of harm across the entire state.
And yes, under the guise of we're taking care of people, we're helping people, as we peel back this narrative, I had Sonia Riggs on, the head of the Colorado Restaurant Association, and she said that the governor is making these decisions regarding COVID-19, the Wuhan virus reaction disruption, on modeling instead of data. Now, when we were first in on this, 15 days, want to flatten the curve. That did seem prudent.
Yes.
This was something we didn't know what it was.
Yes.
Let's take a little pause.
Yes.
Let's take a look at it. But now we're going to be soon a year into this.
That's right.
There is data.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still basing it on modeling, because a model can give you whatever you want, so
that's
you can
true.
Make whatever decision you want. That is not leadership.
It's not. It really isn't. You know, and you're so correct, Kim, and this is a frustrating thing to me, is that when he explains why he's doing what he's doing, he's kind of, you know, it's kind of like a bait and switch,
mm-hmm.
right? He's telling you something, but he's doing something totally different.
Correct.
Right? And so we really need to hold our elected officials accountable for their decisions and how they're making those choices and how they're reaching those conclusions. When you look at the numbers haven't really changed since last February or March, you know, as far as the rate of transmission and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, because when you first think about it, right, we've gone through so many different versions of why we need to wear a mask and why we need to stay at home and why we're closing businesses and so forth. Remember, at first it was we didn't want to overburden
the hospitals,
right? Mm-hmm. That was the first narrative,
mm-hmm.
right? The second narrative is we need to stop the spread. We need to slow down the curve.
And you know, let me just challenge that narrative just a little bit. This coronavirus is in the common cold family.
Yes.
When did we ever think that we were going to be able to stop the common cold, have a vaccine for the common cold? But they talk about the numbers rising. I'm driving home the other day, and the city that I live in, is this the proper role of government? It says free COVID tests right over here. So you turn left and you can get a free COVID test. Since when have we tested healthy people for a cold or for the flu? You're going to get expanded numbers. And then, of course, we know up in Grand County, this is just one example, is there was a murder-suicide, so gunshot deaths.
Right.
And the CDPHE noted it as COVID deaths. So come on. We have to trust the data. And you lie to me once, shame on me. No. Lie to me once, shame on you. Lie to me twice, shame on me. We the people need to go hold the phone here, Greg.
I totally agree with you. And that's exactly why I'm stepping up to the plate to say, you know what, your voice matters. And I'm running because, you know, the government has ignored the voices of the people in too many situations. You know, they ignored the voices of small businesses and the struggles that they've been facing. They ignored the voices of parents when they said, we don't want the mandatory vaccine. You know, they ignored the voices of parents when we said, hey, what is this about sexual education in the schools and what is that going to mean? Truly, right now, government is censoring our voices. They don't want to hear it. And so this is where we need to fight back. The year 2021 is for the people. I look at the year 2020, it seemed like it was the year of the tyrants. They were always telling us what to do. Now it's time for the people to rise up and start asking questions. They need to do their own research. They need to reach their own conclusions. We need to start using our own minds to make our evaluation of what's going on versus listening to the sound bites. And that's why I'm going to be traveling the state, because I need people to understand that the most strongest voice that we have is the people's voice. It's not the modeling. It's not anything else, you know. And the media loves to play with those terms, right? You say the cases are going up, right? Well, all that means is that people are testing positive. But think about it. I'll just give you a perfect example. We've tested 2.1 million people in the state of Colorado. 2.1 million. There's 345,000 people that have tested positive out of 2.1 million. So what does that tell you? That tells you that about 1.7 million people tested negative, right? Now, there's 5.8 million in the state of Colorado. Now, out of that 345,000 that tested positive, we've only had 18,000, around 18,000 that needed hospitalization. Out of the 345,000, you know, and out of those 18,000, we've only had, and these are numbers, I mean, it is a disease, but we only had about 3,800 people pass away from COVID. And those are the numbers, right, that we have to question, because sometimes they identified as a COVID death when really it wasn't that COVID had killed them. It just meant that they were positive for COVID when they died.
And the other thing when we're talking about asking questions is Sam Sorbo had tweeted something out that the two different maps of the United States regarding our flu numbers. And last year, the United States had all kinds of different colors from flu. And this year, there is hardly any flu.
That's right.
And each one of these deaths, each person is treasured and valued. And we don't want to discount that at all. But we want to ask the questions to get to the real honest answer on that. We're going to go to break, Greg Lopez. Before we do that, though, another one of my really terrific partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're a family-owned business. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you're a collector, a sportsman, you need a new kitchen set of knives for your when you're cooking, be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And they've also added in a beautiful line. Actually, I think they have three lines of watches as well. So check out castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Greg Lopez.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is Greg Lopez. He's a gubernatorial candidate for Colorado 2022, and his campaign manager, Kevin Conrad, is in studio as well. Greg Lopez, we are in historic times right now. Yesterday was the election in Georgia. And to your point, they probably should do a recount. But today, the Electoral College meets. There are rallies planned throughout the country, different capitals. There's something that's supposed to occur down at our capital. What do you think is going to happen today?
You know, I wish my crystal ball would tell me what it is going to happen. You know, I'm like everybody else. You know, I don't know, to be honest with you, Kim. I mean, I think at the end of the day, we're going to be able to get more information from Congress, you know, because they are going to be able to talk about it, you know, in a more open forum, you know. And I think what people are going to start realizing is that we need to get involved. You know, there's one civic duty that we ask of everybody as a citizen of this country. And that is, you know what? Vote. You need to vote, but you need to be an informed voter. That is the only thing that we really ask people to do that makes us different from all the other countries across the world. And I'm very concerned. I am very concerned that, you know, this election cycle, there's been so many questions. There's been so many situations where it's really starting to challenge. Are we holding elections fairly? Are we actually making sure that the elections are actually counting the votes the way they should be counted? And this Dominion software, this Dominion computer system that we're using here in Colorado, I think out of the 64 counties, listen to this, 61 of them are using Dominion.
I thought it was 62, but most of them anyway.
Right, most of them, yeah. Right? And the question is, why? You know, why are they using just one system when there are two certified systems in the state of Colorado? And Douglas County is the one of the counties said, you know what, we want to use the alternatives system. You know, and I think that, you know what, we need to have more of that to say, hey, let's balance this out, right?
That is such an interesting question, because the radical activist progressives, and I should really call them regressives because they want to regress back to tyrants, right, and serfs, they play long ball.
Yep.
And I think that sometimes, because I say we are many times playing tiddlywinks because we're busy trying to create our businesses, take care of our families, but we realize now over this last year that government can shut down your business.
Yes.
At a whim. But Dominion has been working for years to become the voting system in a number of different states. And as you mentioned here in Colorado, Merlin Klotz, who at the time was Douglas County Clerk and Recorder, sued the Republican Secretary of State to say, we don't want to use Dominion. And I was just kind of new into starting to pay attention to all of this. Greg Lopez, I thought that was so curious.
Yeah.
Why that happened. But now you fast forward and you see what was happening with Dominion. And it's like, gosh, Merlin seemed kind of brilliant.
Yeah. Well, think about it. I mean, why does a county have to sue the state to choose what election process they're going to use within their own county to overhaul their elections, right? I mean, you have to ask, and why is the state so demanding that they use only one system?
And this happened through many states.
Yep.
And where there were a lot of kind of funny stuff going on, Dominion was very, very prevalent in,
right,
those states, I might say.
Yep. You know, my biggest fear, Kim, is that if we don't protect the integrity of our elections, we're going to look like a third world country. Because what I'm seeing here, what I'm hearing, is usually what you hear is going on in Colombia and El Salvador and other places where people aren't really trusting the election process, so they don't go out to vote. You know, and we cannot lose that trust. That is the one thing that makes America great, is that our elections have always been held at the highest level, because that's where people truly believe their voices are being heard. And if we jeopardize that, I don't know what the future of our country is going to look like, but we have a responsibility as citizens to at least ask the questions. Why is this happening? You know, why are people being able to vote twice? You know, why are people that
when they're dead?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? And really, at the end of the day, everything that's happening now, you know, a lot of people want to focus on the candidates. And I try to encourage them, don't focus on the candidates. You know, whoever wins, wins. We got to protect the integrity of the election, because if we don't protect that, how are we going to feel comfortable that any future election is really going to be a representative of the people's choices?
Okay, Greg Lopez, you mentioned a couple of things because I've thought a lot about this. And there's the nefarious stuff that looks like was going on with votes being switched, dead people voting, people voting twice. First of all, I have to ask each and every one of us to look inside and say, what is our character if we stand by and think that that's okay? Quite frankly, if your team is the one that is cheating and winning, is that really okay? Because when we engage in the battle of ideas, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If you have to cheat, if you have to use force and coercion to win, then perhaps your ideas really can't stand the test of time. But the other thing, Greg Lopez, you mentioned an informed voter. You saw all these different vote, and our kids vote. This is so important. But if you don't know what you're voting on, don't vote.
Right.
You have a civic responsibility, and that's why Rick Turnquest and I we did our voter's guide, which that goes to very quickly a headline. We came out strong against this Proposition EE, which was the cigarette tax thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they said that the money was going to be used for the kids. And,
it's always going to be used for the kids, right? It's always going to be used for the kids.
But in essence, what it did, and we always say big business and big government like each other.
Right.
So the big kind of mainline cigarette manufacturers came in and really lobbied to get this, the legislature put it on the ballot. And it increases taxes so much that they are now going to be able to push their competitor out of the market.
Yep.
And a lot of people were not informed on that. They vote, but they're not informed to understand what is actually going to happen. And so people have a responsibility on that. But then I've also seen the erosion of everyday hardworking people's votes through mail-in ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something. Colorado was one of the first ones out on
right.
that. And I know that, like in Douglas County, we feel that there is ballot integrity, that your ballot, once it's cast, it is counted. However, there are things nefarious that can happen with mail-in voting as well. And not having to show ID in some of these different states. All these things erode everyday hardworking people's votes. But I think people are paying attention. Greg, we've got about 3 minutes. So how would you like to finish up this conversation?
You know, the way I'd like to finish it off, Kim, is that, look, we're in a crossroads as a country. We're in a crossroads as a state. Just look into the future. Just look into the future and tell me what you see. And I'm going to tell you what I see is more of the same. You know, I'm not seeing any real improvement in the trust factor that people have on government, the government releasing some of their heavy-handed mandates and restrictions on families and children and small business owners. I see Main Street America drying up. You know, small business is the heart and soul of our country.
It is.
You know, it's not corporate America. And when we undermine small business, what we're basically doing is we're encouraging government to step in. And that's what government's doing right now. The only thing that's stopping them from truly taking over our country is small business. Because small business are entrepreneurs, they're survivors. They will fight every single day to make sure that they can make a living. But think about it. You erase small business, the only thing that's left is corporate America and government. Okay? So we need to be aware of what's happening. And I'm going to tell people that, you know, I understand what it means to be a public servant. You know, I'm a listener. And I care about every single economy in the state of Colorado. I care about rural Colorado. I care about small business. I'm a small business owner. We all know small businesses owners, you know. And we care about our children. We care about the mindset that's permeating right now with our millennials. And right now, I'm going to tell you, the millennials are feeling like, you know what, why do I even get involved in this situation? Because it seems like it's hopeless. And we need to get them back because they're the future. And so I think right now we need to find good, strong candidates that care, candidates that will be out there and be talking to people and really keeping their hand on the pulse of what's happening. And more importantly, being out there and letting people know that they have a purpose, and their purpose is to make sure that government is working efficiently and that government is not going to dictate how they live their lives.
Right, and making sure that we are electing people that protect our private property rights. And when we do that, that's why we have this great big middle class that you can see. These Democrat governors and mayors are trying to stifle the hope of everyday Main Street America. How can people get more information about you, Greg Lopez?
You know, they can definitely, you know, go to my website, lopezforgovernor2022.com. You can get a lot of information there. You know, we're revamping the website, so there's going to be some new exciting stuff that we're going to be doing. But if they want to call me directly, they can call me on my cell phone. You know, that's 303-596-3364. That's 303-596-3364. You know, I want people to know that they have access to me because I want to hear their stories. I want to hear their struggles because we're in this together.
Greg Lopez, thank you so much for being in studio. And Kevin Conrad, thank you for being in studio. Our quote for today is from Charles Spurgeon. He says, "By perseverance, the snail reached the ark." So never give up. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't